Thank you for that. We're going to be looking in the book of Judges this morning. We have a series we're doing in Ecclesiastes, but we're taking a break today as it is Father's Day. And I want to share a few thoughts this morning about fatherhood and manhood. And I think there's a lot of confusion in our country about that, and I want us to look at that. If we're really honest, if we really look honestly at the state of our country, and particularly families in our country, we have to concede that things aren't going very well. The family is under attack, whether it's divorce rates, people that don't even bother to get married, the marriage is even intact, but they're just not happy. They're miserable. There are a lot of reasons for that, but there are also cures for that. One thing we need to understand very, very, very importantly, it's very important to understand, is that the key to the success of the family, especially being a father in the family, is the dad. We've been told by our society that dads are expendable, that they're not important anymore. The most important person in a family is the father. Now, I understand in a crowd like this, you'll have maybe some mothers that you're raising your children by yourself. And by the way, my mom did that. And by the way, if you look at me, she did a pretty good job. I was a handful, trust me. So that's not to get on that, because with God's grace, single mothers, you can do a good job. Okay, I can look back at my mom, and I was a crazy and I was not a good kid, but I would have been a lot worse if it wasn't for my mom and her energy in there. And by the way, that's why, ladies, it's important to be a part of a church, okay, so that can kind of help you with that situation. But all things being equal, if you have a family that's intact, the dad, the husband, is the key. Involvement. The problem is our society thinks otherwise and models otherwise. A few years ago, and I want to read a little bit of this story, in the Press Telegram was a story called "Father Knows Jest, Tween TV is Big on Dissing Dad." That was the title of it. Tween, when they talk about tweens, they're talking about those children to teenager group. And the shows that they put out there was written by a man named Josh Delaney. I want to quote a little bit of it because I want us to understand what is going on in our society. He says, if future sociologists study the American family at the turn of this century and are equipped with footage from tween TV, shows only, they will conclude that dads were either AWOL or annoying accessories for that generation. Assuming that dads are on these shows, some are written out in order to set up one wacky moment after another, you can expect a beta male ducking barbs from babyface angels training to take Lindsay Lohan's place in the passing parade. BYU, Brigham Young University, produced a report based on 8 hours of watching the Disney Channel's popular shows about tweens and families. Keenan found that every 3.24 minutes, TV dad acted like a buffoon. And about half the time, his children reacted by rolling their eyes, making fun of him, criticizing him, or walking away. The Journal of Broadcasting and Electronic Media published a study by Erica Schramer that found the number of times a mother told a joke at the father's expense in family sitcoms increased from 1.8 times per episode in the 50s to about 5 times per episode in the 90s, and it's worse now. Whatever happened to the revered dads? There were plenty in the early days of TV. Leave It to Beaver's dad. Father Knows Best. The Andy Griffith Show. Most of them were like this. Dads, however, today, unaware, outsmarted, always walking into jokes. And with slick sets and laugh tracks, the young ones among us are numbed to the undermining of a dying American institution, manhood. Now, the sad fact of the matter is, most men have fallen for this type of nonsense. Maybe they're not as bad as it's portrayed on TV, but we've kind of acquiesced to this whole thought of dad's not the serious one, and mom's got everything under control, and the teens or the children are running everything that's going on. We are being shaped by the wrong models. I'm not trying to get on us today, fathers. I don't want to do that. I said I wouldn't do that. But I want us to understand some things, and I want us to, in our lives, rebuke the society that's around us. For most men and fathers, everything's okay as long as our sports team wins. Unless you're a Raiders fan, then you're used to it. It's all right as long as we're doing well at work. Things are great if I'm getting better at my video game or spending quality time in my favorite hobby, or I'm getting time with my buddies. It's a vicious society. It's a vicious cycle that leads our society down. We said this before. Our nations are falling apart because our states are falling apart. Our states are falling apart because our cities are falling apart. Our cities are falling apart because our communities are falling apart. And our communities are falling apart because our families and our churches are falling apart. And that's happening because men aren't taking the lead. What's the problem? The problem is we don't understand what it means to be a man. We don't understand what real manhood is. Now, for those of us that were male, we're attracted to men like Samson. Okay? Samson is a guy that we would naturally like. He was tough. A one-man army. But he had flaws. He did a lot of good. He was the strongest man in the Bible physically. But yet he was the weakest man in the Bible, one of the weakest, spiritually. And it cost him. And it cost him greatly. He would fit the average description of the modern man. Today I want to look, and I want to encourage us here as men and fathers. We don't have to fall into this what society is trying to mold us to be. Men have been... I don't even know what word to use. I'd use a word and probably be inappropriate. Not in a bad way, but they're trying to demand us, okay, if that even makes sense. And in New York State, they just passed a law that says you can't declaw a cat because that's cruel. And I'm not for declawing cats or against it, okay? That's fine. Of course, you can kill a baby after it's born. But we're trying to declaw men. Don't listen to these terms, you know, toxic masculinity. Now, being masculine is not toxic. But there are men who are toxic. Because if you understand your masculinity, you won't be toxic. That's just something they're trying to do to make men like ladies. And let me explain something. Men, we're not ladies. Thank God for that. I am 100% proud to be a man. That's not a knock on ladies, because ladies, you ought to be 100% proud to be a lady. That's what God made you. And we're not the same. We're not. And the society's trying to blend us all together. And doesn't make one better than the other. But let's all find out what God wants. But we're struggling in our families. We're struggling in our relationships because we don't understand manhood. So most men overcompensate of one of two ways when it comes to manhood. We overcompensate to the manly side. Okay? You know, we don't talk, we grunt. You know, like the old caveman. Grab the woman by the hair and pull. We don't do that. You know, we're rude. And you know, men, we're men, we have to struggle with these things. We use our manhood as an excuse to be a knucklehead. Now, to an extent, we're all knuckleheads, but you understand what I'm saying. We go overboard with that, and when we do, we're going to do some of the things I'm going to mention briefly this morning that Samson did. The problem now, Brother Pichardo, is now we're overcompensating to the other side. We're under-manly. Now, if I had to choose, and I don't think you have to, but if I have to choose, I would rather be over-manly than under-manly. I'm not wearing a dress. I'm not wearing girls' patterns on my clothes. I'm not doing that. Maybe I'm just a little bit old school. But you know what we used to call that? Normal. You guys, you want to dress like ladies. They've been blurring the lines for years. Oh, that's just a fashion. No, you look like a lady. You better watch where you walk in Long Beach. Someone's going to walk by and pinch you. Okay? You're getting that close to wearing a dress. Well, you know, I want my husband to be more sensitive. And husbands, you should be more sensitive. But if he's oversensitive, you ought to be concerned.
Oh, yeah.
But we overcompensate on both sides instead of just being right down the middle. So this morning, I want us to look at Samson, because Samson misunderstood manhood like many of us do. So what are these? There's four areas I see here that Samson suffered in when it comes to misunderstood manhood. First of all, I believe appearance. We must understand that a man is not defined by his appearance. By the way, most men are ugly. Unfortunately, I'm not, okay? I was thinking of Robert when I said that, but he's a good friend. I would never say that publicly. What I mean by that is this. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to read some verses that we did not read in the story. Judges chapter 14. Then went Samson down, his father and his mother, to Timnah, to came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. You hear these things about the Chuck Norris jokes, right? Okay, whatever you think Chuck Norris is, Samson was that on steroids. Okay, the guy didn't, I like him, Mike, in this part. The guy didn't even have an instrument. The lion came up like, raw, and he ripped it in half. I said, shut up, kitty. Not Hello Kitty. That's, by the way, if you're a guy, you like Hello Kitty, come see me. You need some help. Okay, you don't need Hello Kitty, you need Goodbye Doggy. All right, that's where you need to go. But I'm not saying, Samson was a man's man. Yeah. But let me just say something, guys. You could have muscles in places where people never thought of having muscles. That doesn't make you a man.
Amen.
I'm not saying you need to weigh 800 pounds. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, men, we're so consumed with the outside. By the way, if you walked down the street with Samson, you wanted to be with him when a fight broke out. Because here's what you did. Some guys try to attack you and say, you know, Samson, I'm just going to sit this one out. Samson did not have, he was literally a one-man army. All the other judges had armies to help them fight their battles. Samson said, I'm good. He'd beat 3,000, take out 3,000 guys at one time by himself.
Yep.
Appearance. Most men want to be defined by their outward appearances. By the way, when you do that, be careful. You're going to start going a little feminine. Or you're going to go overly masculine. You got to have muscles. And someone starts trouble at church, you come and handle it for me, all right? But that doesn't define who you are as a man. Okay? It doesn't. And we're so defined by that. What is the problem? Again, go work out. But don't spend more time at the gym than you do in the Word. See? We're so defined by the outside that we never work on the inside. Are you with me? The inside's kind of a big deal.
Amen.
And so let's not just be so focused. Take care of yourself. Don't spend, and you know, men, we got to play. Got to have all the outward trappings. And there's nothing wrong with a boat. I've heard someone say the two greatest days in the life of someone that has a boat is the greatest day is the day they bought the boat. The second greatest day is the day they sell the boat. Okay? Costs a lot of money. That's all. Nothing wrong with a boat. But we have to have all the toys and we have to play. The point I'm making is, if you're going to worry about your appearance, don't worry more about your outward appearance than your inward appearance. You know, what does it say? David looked at Eliab and said, that guy's got it going on. He's the next king. And God said, I've refused this. He didn't even call him a guy. He says, hey, you're looking on the outward, but I can see the heart. Let's be men on the inside. Secondly, he struggled in his appetites. What does that mean? We must understand that a man must not be directed by his appetites. Now, I'm going to read a few verses here. You can flip to them in Judges there. Here was Samson's biggest problem. Chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philippines, now therefore get her for me to wife. Look at verse chapter 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. Judges 16:4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Three times in an area that is a real issue for men, women, he gave in to his appetites. You don't just see a woman and say, wow, she's hot, she's the one. Might want to talk to her. Because when she starts to open her mouth, that temperature gauge goes down. She goes from hot to cool real fast. But his appetites were out of control. If he saw what he wanted, kind of like we saw with Solomon. Samson was like that. He could not control his appetites. His appetites were leading the way. He saw something. By the way, be careful what we're looking at, men. Look, what you allow yourself to focus on is what you're going to become involved with. Be very, very careful. There's all kinds of nonsense out there. Yes, and our flesh takes over. He couldn't control his lust. Let me say this. The biggest spiritual battle a man will face is with himself.
Yep.
If a guy, look, if you say, I don't have a trouble in that area, then you have some issues. Bad issues. But that's no reason to give in. Just whatever we want, whatever the flesh says, and we get ourselves in all kinds. I'm saying we don't have to be like that, man.
Right.
By the way, your family's watching. Your wife deserves better.
Yep.
Your children deserve better. And by the way, we have a lot of men, you follow that. I'm not getting on you this morning. I'm just trying to encourage us. Hey, let's not just always follow what we feel like doing. When we follow what we feel like doing, we are headed on a road to disaster. Samson got there, and he got there pretty quick. Why? He could not rebuke his desires. He was not willing to fight it. And then his feelings, he was selfish. Let's be very careful. What is a real man? A real man can control his appetites. You don't have to always have what you feel like having. It's like children. Ask a child what they want for dinner. You know what they want for dinner? Snickers bar. And by the way, that's a good choice. You know, I want cereal. Who does it? Come on, now if you eat Fruity Pebbles, really. But honeycomb. Amen? Honeycomb. You like honeycomb? Okay, there you go. But guess what? That's not good for them. Okay, it's what they want. No kid says, what do you want for dinner? It's like, can I get some asparagus and a side of Brussels sprouts? That's not going to happen. But what we need to do is we need to rebuke our appetites. We all have appetites as men that will take us out of control and take us out of bounds unless we're willing to fight it, rebuke it, and get God's spirit in that thing. Okay? You know what a strong man is? A strong man can control himself. Thirdly, here's another problem where he had it, and men struggle with this. Anger. A real man is not driven by anger. Now, let me say this. I wouldn't give you a dime for someone that can't get upset about the right things. And in the right way. And sometimes you need to put your foot down and get upset. Not without going out of control and throwing things and cussing and all that nonsense. But you need to put your foot down sometime. That was wrong. Okay, that's not going over very well. Well, you know, everything's good. It's not all good. But how come we let men fly off the handle and act like animals and it's okay? Anger. Anger is very, very destructive. We need to be very careful. Verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he went down to Ashkelon. He slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave the garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. Now, God's spirit was still with him at that time, but that whole thing was in response to something he got mad about. And he took that anger with him. By the way, when your appetites are out of control, I'll tell you what's out of control also, anger. Almost always, someone that has an addiction issue, whether it be pornography or whatever, they almost always have an anger issue that goes with it. Because once you lose that self-control, it shows itself in anger. Sometimes some of us, I've seen some men, their poor kids are afraid to move straight because dad might get mad and throw the book at him for something he doesn't need to get upset about. Listen, if your kid did something wrong, legitimately wrong, you need to show, not yelling and screaming, but you need to stand up and show a little bit of anger that that thing was wrong. They spilled the milk, that's different. And by the way, we've all been guilty. We get upset about the wrong things. See, that was just an accident. But we're so out of control that the kids sometimes are just, what kind of mood is dad going to be in when he comes home? Very important. By the way, ladies, that's good for us too. You, not us, you. Okay? Anger. And then really the last one, and the thing I think is very important, I think men in our society are getting wrong, it's what I call apathy. A man must not give in to spiritual apathy. When we're apathetic, we just don't care and we don't take things seriously. And the average man does not take Christianity spiritually, seriously. We have men in our church that do, and many of you do. Apathy messes our priorities, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
The things that should be a big deal to us aren't. And the things that shouldn't be a big deal to us are. We shouldn't be apathetic towards sin. Sin's a big deal.
Yes, sir.
Several years ago, I remember they had that deal where one of the Laker kids, one of the young Lakers, I think he narked out on one of the players that was cheating on his wife or his girlfriend or something. And all the players on his team got mad at the guy who let it out that he was cheating. Well, what about the guy that was cheating?
Yeah.
He wasn't doing it because he's right. He did it because he's. I'd rather be the guy that stands for right.
Yeah.
But in our society, oh man, you don't do that. The brotherhood code. Well, what brotherhood code? Covering up people's sin? That's not godly. We hear all this stuff and we sin and we wink our eye at it and it's not a big deal. It is a big deal.
Yes, sir.
By the way, especially when you allow it in your own life. You know, this thing that used to go on, look, back in when I was a child, a lot of people smoke. Smoking's kind of out now, right? But how many of you older than me, you remember that? Just like pretty much everybody smoked. And I remember all the parents of my friends and my mom smoked and, it's like, now, Junior, don't you smoke? It's like, right on, man, I won't. Now, I didn't because I had asthma, but it's like my friends like, yeah, where'd you get a cigarette? I took it from my dad. Dad said, don't drink. Hey, son, go get me a beer. That doesn't work. What we want to bring things into our life and don't realize what it's doing to our children. That's why, spiritually speaking, I want to be faithful to everything that God wants me to be faithful to, because I'm setting example for my children.
Right.
You go on vacation, you ditch out on church services. What are you teaching your kids? That's not a big deal. We're on vacation from God. By the way, missed services so easily here. What are you teaching your kids? Well, so-and-so's doing this, and I just thought we'd go do that. You know what you're teaching them? Inadvertently, you're teaching them church isn't that big a deal. I mean, if it's convenient, it's not a conviction. That means we're kind of apathetic towards it. We need to work towards that. Here's the thing, we're done. The average man thinks that spirituality is for women. Well, that spiritual thing, that's my wife's responsibility. No, it isn't. It's your responsibility.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? That's ours. And here's the thing. Let's not be afraid to take that mantle. And by the way, I'm not getting on you because I get it. Our families know us better than anybody. But that's okay. Don't feel. Just say, I'm trying to make the right decision. I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to make the right decision here. Your family needs you to do that.
That's right.
Now, I'll say this gently and kindly and don't take it wrong. But sometimes, men, your wife should be upset with you. Not because you're acting like an idiot. Okay. But look, no, we're not doing that. Yeah, but I don't understand that. That's fine. You don't have to understand it, but that's my call. I'm the spiritual leader of the house. I ain't doing it. And your children, Dad, deal with it. I'm gonna go make a sandwich, but we're not doing that. They'll get over it. Ultimately, it's your call, is it not? Why are we afraid to take that? I want to go do this. Whatever mom said. Mom, nothing. If it's a matter of doing the right thing, you need to be in charge.
Yes.
And I'm admonishing you to take that. I'm a man. I'm doing my man things. You know what the top of your man things list is? Love God.
Yep.
You know what the top of your man things is? Live for God.
Yes, sir.
You can do that. Trust me. And what happens sometimes, and I am done, Satan gets us to relinquish that because we've made a mistake. Isn't that right?
Yep.
So we make a mistake spiritually. Maybe we backslid for a while and it's like, that's just a phase you're going through. Say, no, it's a phase I'm going to.
Yeah.
Just because I made a mistake in the past, forgetting those things are what's behind. I got that over with. I'm going to go forward from now on.
Yeah.
Take the mantle. Say, but they don't believe me because I have in the past. You know how you change that? You earn that.
Yes, sir.
Step up and do it. Let's be men. I guess the point I'm saying is let's not let the world tell us what manhood is. Because if you look around, they're not doing a really good job. They're not. Churches need good men. Families need good fathers.
Yeah.
And let's not make Samson. Samson's a guy I would want in a fight. Samson's not a guy I'd want to run a family.
Come on.
And let's do the thing that God made us for. You cannot be replaced, Dad. I'm sorry, you can't. You are just so vitally important. And your family loves you, and they'll be with you. They want you to be successful. And you can do it. Let's all stand together.